The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then, taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, it was just 1 year ago in Indianapolis that there was something called a National Eucharistic Congress. And it wasn't the first of its kind, but it had been decades since something like this happened in the United States. 50,000 to 60,000 people converged in Lucas Oil Stadium and the Indianapolis Convention Center for 5 days, all centered on the Eucharist. Kind of a pinnacle point of what was a 2 or 3 year Eucharistic revival effort. And I just saw an article with some of the an interview with some of the organizers to ask them, you know, 1 year's passed, looking back on that humongous event where so many people were pulled in and so many people planned it. I mean, has it had the effect that you thought it would? And at first glance, the answer is somewhat underwhelming, but give it time, I said, we don't know yet. They did not expect immediate ripple effects to happen. They compared it to back in the early 1990s, World Youth Day with Pope John Paul II came to Denver, Colorado. And you'd think that was the first time that this World Youth Day event that Pope John Paul II began and continues throughout the years came to the United States. You'd think he'd pick somewhere like New York, Chicago, Los Angeles. He chose Denver, so no one expected people to go. And of course, hundreds of thousands of youth throughout the world came. And they encountered the Lord Jesus through the successor of St. Peter, the vicar of Christ, Pope John Paul II. Lives were transformed, but it only was unveiled over the subsequent decades, where within 10 years, there were all these different apostolates and ministries popping up that were fruitful and growing out of all places, Denver. And so they kind of expect a similar reality. Over time, these spontaneous gifts from the Lord will continue to spread. Now, if it's true that in that case, it was Pope John Paul II, how people encountered the Lord Jesus through his person, being the vicar of Christ. And that's not the only way the Lord wants to stir hearts, begin conversions, and make things happen. Of course, he left us the sacred scriptures. And that's how so many people throughout the centuries have experienced conversion, have encountered the Lord Jesus. I think of St. Anthony of the Desert, who read in the context of a church, the story of the rich young man who goes away sad because he's asked to give away everything and follow the Lord. Anthony did not want to go away sad. That was the moment, reading scripture, that he encountered the Jesus and his call and went all in. Or even St. Augustine, who was reading sacred scriptures, opened the page where St. Paul is encouraging us to leave a hide behind the sins of the flesh. And that's when he knows the Lord is grabbing hold of his heart and he would be transformed. But of course, it's not just scripture. as the way the Lord wants to encounter us and cause that conversion and transformation. After all, the night before he died, he didn't say, "Take this, all of you, and read it." The night before he dies, he says, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body." The primary way he wishes to reach your heart and soul is through his flesh and blood. Today, the Feast of Corpus Christi rejoices at this gift, which is beyond comprehension. The Eucharistic revival, and that's the encounter with the Lord, that's how it happened with me. I probably mentioned it to you before, and I won't go into detail, but it wasn't until I was a high school freshman at confirmation retreat in the context of Eucharistic adoration, where the Lord pierced through my, I was a bit immature, I was a bit distracted, I was resistant, and all of a sudden he pierced through all of that, through his flesh and blood, and said, "It is me, and I'm asking more of you." And I'm convinced that every Catholic must have that sort of experience, not so dramatic, maybe a daily occurrence, but the Lord wants to reach your heart through the Eucharist, cause a revival in you, and see the effects over time. Of all the talks that happened last year at Lucas Oil Stadium, I must admit the most impactful for me was, many of you know him, Father Mike Schmitz, who gave a talk that was powerful because it was somewhat hard to receive. But he said, if we want a revival, there is no revival without repentance. Not exciting topic. You know, you're trying to rally the troops and like, repent. What was his point? He didn't reference this story, but I remember there's a story told about the Boston College philosophy professor, Peter Kraft, a Catholic, incredible articulator of the Catholic faith, who in his course was speaking about the faith. And after class one day, a devout Muslim came up to him and asked him a few questions. And the young man said, "You truly believe that that little white thing is Jesus?" And Dr. Kraft said, "Yes." And then he said, you believe that Jesus is God?" And Dr. Kraft said, "Yes." And then he goes on to talk about the reality of miracles and began to talk about philosophy. And the student stopped him and said, "No. If you believe that that little white thing is Jesus and Jesus is God, I can imagine that if that truly is Allah, as he said, I would never stop kneeling. I wouldn't be able to get up." And what he's seen on the campus of Boston College in that context was people who would come back from communion like nothing happened. Or they just walked out the doors. Or they kept watching around or checking their phone. So there's no way you believe that. And I think that's what Father Mike Schmitz means by no revival without repentance. And so on this Feast of Corpus Christi, which gives us such great consolation, the Lord has not left us orphans, that he has remained in his church to encounter us on an individual level every single day on every altar throughout the world. Today, we also repent. If we haven't already, we look back to all those times I've missed Mass, deliberately, intentionally, and unnecessarily. All the times that I came to Mass and my mind and my heart were not in it. Any time that I left early when it wasn't an emergency. Any time I approached Holy Communion not in the state of grace. Any time I received the Eucharist carelessly, casually. Any time I had the mindset that the Mass is a burden rather than a gift. Or I thought about Mass as an obligation rather than an honor and a privilege. If we can truly have that mindset, a true repentance, then we're clearing the path for the Lord to do something in our souls. And I'm not expecting that after Mass today, immediately outside of this church, everyone will be transformed. That's not how it worked at the Eucharistic Congress, and that's not how it works for us. Most of the time, it's coming back to him and coming back to him and coming back to him. And over time, he will pierce deeper and deeper into our souls and cause transformation. Unfortunately, a lot of us Catholics, we don't expect much from the Mass. I've heard it said we probably have more faith in Tylenol and Advil than we have the Eucharist. And maybe, just maybe on this Feast of Corpus Christi, we, yes, repent, but we say with Peter, Peter, who was at that synagogue in in Capernaum so many years ago, where Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you." And he turns to his apostles and say, "You want to leave me because of this? This is hard teaching." Peter says, "To whom else shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life." If we don't understand the Eucharist, we've never had that experience, let's speak with Peter and say, "To whom else shall we go?" Who else is causing transformation and conversion but Christ in his flesh and blood?